ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 6, and today's verse is 18, and the chapter is 19, which is called the Pumsavana Ritualistic Ceremony. Kritam ekatarena pi dampatyor upayor api patnyam kuryat anarhayam patiritat samahitaha. Hear the word for words. Kritam. Executed. Ekaterina. One by one. Api. Even. Dampatyo. Of the wife and husband. Ubayoho, of both. Rohono, api, still. Sarajamo. Patnyam, when the wife. Kuryad, he should execute. Anarhayam is unable. Patihi, the husband. Etat, this. Samahitaha, with attention. Translation: between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The relationship between husband and wife is firmly established when the wife is faithful and the husband sincere. Then even if the wife, being weaker, is unable to execute devotional service with her husband, if she is chaste and sincere, she shares half of her husband's activities. First of all, I'm very happy to be back here at New Gaya Dham. Thank you to all the devotees here who are keeping the vibration going here in this huge city of Tokyo. Thanks to all the devotees who are keeping the vibration going here in Tokyo. And in Osaka. And Osaka.
Excuse me, it's not clear to me. Would you?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Not as clear as before.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is that clearer?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I just have to speak louder. I was thanking all the devotees in Japan for giving their lives to spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. So this verse today is very important. Krita means executed. Ekatarena, by one. Api, even. So the first half a line says, Kritam ekatarena api, which means even if this devotional vow is executed by one, either by one, and it's speaking of the husband and wife, if one of them executes the vow, then it will be effective. So then dampatyor means of the husband, of the wife and husband. Ubayo means both of them. Api, still or even. So this is very interesting that the husband and the wife are considered to be one unit. This means that the institution of marriage is a divine institution. When the man and woman come together for marriage, this is recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As one unit for performing sacrifice for the Supreme. By nature, a man has an attraction for woman, and woman has attraction for man. This is the fundamental feature of the material world. Prabhupada comments that if there was no attraction between male and female, then you wouldn't see many cars driving around in Tokyo. You wouldn't see big buildings. You wouldn't see people working very hard. Because the only impetus for working hard in the material world is to maintain this relationship. Of course, in the modern world, it's become a little more complicated because of artificial standard of living. In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Rishabhadev says, Pumsa striya maituni bhava mitam toyor mutur hridaya grantamahu atogriya kshitra sutata vitar janasimoho yamahamameti. That the fundamental principle of the material world is attraction between male and female. Pumsa and striya means, pumsa means male and striya means female. Of course, it's a very important to remember that the soul is neither male or female. Well, actually, it's the designation of male and female is only on the bodily conception of life. In relationship to Krishna, every living entity is prakriti, means servant or female. Of course, in the material world, we assume an artificial identity. One person's thinking I'm a man, another person's thinking I'm a woman. Someone else is thinking I'm a cat, someone else is thinking I'm a dog. But this is only a dream-like idea. In fact, the Bhagavatam tells about Maharaj Prachinna Barisha. Actually, Narada Muni gives instruction to King Prachinna Barhi, who's a great king. But because the king was a little attached to material life, Narada Muni came to save him. Prachinna Barhi was the father of the Prachetas, the 10 very great sages. They had gone to perform austerities for 10,000 years inside the ocean water. They went down underneath the water. And in the meantime, Narada Muni came and spoke to King Prachinna Barhi to help him become self-realized while his sons were away. So he told him a very long story. It was an allegory. Yeah, it was not a real story. It was a story that represents something else. So he told Prachinna Barhi about a story about another king named Puranjana. So actually, Narada Muni was teaching Prachinna Barishat about Prachinna Barishat's own life, but he told about an imaginary king named Puranjana. Because sometimes if you tell people something directly, they may take offense. Like, what are you telling me for? I'm fine. So Narada Muni, being an expert teacher, told him a story. I'll tell you about another king. So he told about this Puranjana who became attached to a woman. And he was a young man, he was walking in a beautiful park, and he met a woman who was just walking there also. And he started a conversation with her, and then realized that she wasn't married. So he was attracted to her and she was attracted to him.
She was not.
So he said, maybe we should, maybe you could be my wife. And they became connected through marriage. So it's a very long story that Narada Muni tells. And it's a very important story for everyone to read. And I can't tell the whole story right now. But very importantly, Puranjana becomes very attached to his wife. And she becomes very attached to him. And when Puranjan dies, he thinks of his wife because he's most attached to his wife. This is very natural because people become very attached to their spouse. You can understand what you will think about at the time of death by what you think about naturally all day long and when you dream at night. Especially dreaming, because then we don't have any control about what we're thinking about. Similarly, at the time of death, we don't have control over where our mind goes. It goes to the place that we're used to thinking about all day long and what we're attached to. So Puranjana thought of his wife at the time of death. And so in the next life, he became a woman. This is the law of material nature. Krishna says in the Gita, yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tami vaitikonteya sadatad bhavita. Whatever you think of at the time of death, whatever your prominent feeling is towards something, the subject that you're thinking of at the time of death, that you will attain without fail, Krishna says. So, someone might be thinking, I'm a man, and someone else may be thinking, I'm a woman. But the person thinking I'm a man might have been a woman in his last life. And the woman thinking I'm a woman might have been a man in last life. In this way, the material nature is always, we're always changing bodies throughout our stay here in the material world. So, this union between the man and wife is meant to be a a cooperative effort in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the everything that we do in life, all the different arrangements that we make are meant ultimately to please the Supreme. And if they don't, then they're a waste of time. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Dharma swanustita pumsam vishvaksena katasuya nodpariyad yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. That all forms of dharma, including marriage, are meant to bring us to the point of Krishna consciousness. And if they don't, then they are called shrama, working hard for nothing. So we find a huge emphasis throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam on the importance of marriage. There are four orders of spiritual practice. Four orders. Now, the first is brahmacharya. This is cultivating spirit of service and renunciation. And also a strict celibacy. No young students learn to see all women as mother. And typically, brahmacharya would live in an ashram where there's no intimate connection with women. Except maybe the spiritual master's wife. And so, after a brahmacharya, a boy can decide either to remain brahmachari throughout his life, or to take up grihastha ashram, which means to become married, a sacred marriage. For the purpose of cultivating Krishna consciousness. There's two terms used in the Bhagavatam to describe household life. One is called grihastha. And this means the husband and wife live together just to create an ashram at home. That means they cultivate spiritual life at home together. And that they have sex only to make children who are Krishna conscious. And then they raise the children to become Krishna conscious. And then the other term is Griha Medhi. And this means that the husband and wife live together to enjoy their senses. Try to make a lot of money in order to experience the senses in the most variety of ways possible. So the Griha Medhi is not recommended. Because one simply becomes more and more attached to the material world. And also there's no happiness. It's compared to a blind well. Blind well means somebody makes a well and leaves it open in the middle of a field and everyone forgets about it. And then someone walks along, accidentally falls in, and then it doesn't matter how loud you scream, nobody can find you. You're lost in that well. So the husband and wife are meant to live together to cultivate a spirit of renunciation also. And at a certain point in their life, the husband and wife should change to what is called the vanaprastha ashram. Who knows what the word vana means? The forest. Yes. Mori. So, means at a certain point, the husband and wife, they move to the forest together. And they don't wear fancy clothes, they wear tree bark. They perform austerities together. There are examples of this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That, Swayambhuva Manu and his wife, they became vanaprastha together. And even though Swayambhuva was a king and his wife was a queen, they're used to living in a palace. In order to attain the perfection of life, at a certain point, they left everything together. They went to the forest. And Swayambhuva Manu would only take roots or fruits and eat things that were naturally available in the forest. No cooked food from the palace cook, or any very simple food just from nature. And they would sleep on the bare ground. And his wife followed him. And also, she stayed with him till the very end, until he left his body. And then she prepared a funeral pyre, a funeral pyre to burn his body. And then, while the funeral pyre was burning, she also entered into the fire, thinking of her husband. And actually, this was a very natural occurrence in this culture, because the husband and wife were so connected in service to Krishna and the wife in her dharma was so attached to serving her husband as the pati, as her master. That the scriptures describe that the pain of separation would be so much greater than actually entering into fire. So also same thing with Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archie.
That's
Archie served Prithu throughout her life. And at the time when Prithu was, she also prepared the funeral pyre and he entered in. Put her husband's body in the funeral pyre. And she entered within the fire. And those demigods who were observing this saw that just as they entered the fire, then they in their spiritual forms, they rose above the fire on their way back to the spiritual world. Of course, nobody does this anymore. And in India, there was the British were still ruling. They made a law against this. Because it was being imposed by force. They said, you have to enter. And the wife, no. Because it's a different era now. And the same feeling is not there. Nonetheless, the spirit of this union is there. There should be this connection between husband and wife. And we find out in this verse today something very practical. That in this marriage, the sacred marriage, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, that when the wife serves the husband who's performing devotional service, the wife serves the husband. Yeah, she gets credit and benefit for the advancement that he makes in spiritual life. This we find in the story of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Kardama was a great sage. And Devahuti was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu. He lived in the forest and she lived in a palace. Kardama meditated perfectly for 10,000 years. And then Lord Narayan appeared before him. He was so impressed with this sage, Kardama, that he personally came to give him darshan. In fact, there's a river there, or a lake, Bindu Sarovara, which is said to have come from the tears of Narayan when he saw the sage Kardama. Because he had so much love for Kardama and the devotional service that he was doing. So when Kardama Muni saw the Lord, he began to offer prayers. He glorified the Lord. And then he said, I have a desire. He said, normally one doesn't ask anything from you. But he said, I'd like a wife, please. And Lord Narayan said, I know. He already knew, he already understood. He knows everything. And he said, I've already arranged it. I've arranged a special wife for you. And she'll be here in 3 days. So there's a very nice description there of how the Swayambhuva Manu and his wife come and meet Kardama and give their daughter Devahuti to him. And Devahuti, although she grew up in a palace, she agreed that I'll live with this sage in the forest and I'll serve him as my husband. So the Bhagavatam describes how because of her service to her husband, she got the same spiritual benefit as he had attained. So someone would think, why is the husband, the pati and the wife serves the husband? Why not the other way around? And actually, Narada Muni says that if you want to know the inner truth, actually, husband does serve the wife. You may think that the husband is the master, the wife is serving the wife, but actually, by the power of material nature, the husband is attached to the wife and serves whatever the wife wants, serves the wife whatever she wants. And this is the way of material nature. Because the wife is called Stri. Stri.
Yes.
Means one who expands the material field. Stri.
Yeah. No, she said.
What did she say?
Stri.
No, Stri. 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 Stri means S-T-R-I. S-T-R-I.
Oh, sorry.
Stri. Stri, Stri. Stri, huh?
It's a Sanskrit
word. S-T-R-I-M.
No. S-T-R-I.
S-T-R-I, Stri. This is in Sanskrit, the name for woman is Stri.
I.
No, no NG. STRI, period. Can you say STRI? Hi. So Stri means one who expands the material field. And so my point was that the material nature is very strong. And it's manifested especially through Stri. And so, the relationship between husband and wife, the husband becomes subservient to the wife, the wife's desires, when he is not spiritually strong. Or even if he is spiritually strong in the relationship between husband and wife, the husband still becomes controlled by the wife. We can see this in the Bhagavatam, in the life of Priyavrata. He was a great renunciate. His guru is Narada Muni. And he was ready to be Naishtika Brahmachari, just stay Brahmachari his whole life, no connection with the material world. And then his father came, Swayambhuva Maharaj, said, "You have to get married. I need someone to rule the universe." And he said, "No, no, thank you. I don't want to be temple president." And but then Brahma came, his grandfather. And he said, This is Krishna's will that you give up your renunciation and become married." So we were just last night, we were reading how he agreed to this because it was the order of Brahma. And Brahma said, "You will not become attached. It won't affect your devotional advancement." So this is true. If someone enters into married life, marriage, and the purpose is to serve the order of the Supreme, then the husband and wife do not become affected by the attachment. But Priyavrata, even though he was given this benediction, he became very attached to his wife. And then he realized, I've become so attached, now I'll become detached. And at the end of his life, he became detached from the relationship. But my point is that, as Bhagavatam says, every husband is controlled by his wife. The wife represents material intelligence, the intelligence to live properly in the world and to be able to, to live in this world. Sometimes when we go door to door in Silicon Valley, we meet these young men who are not married. Typically, we're talking about Indians here. And so you look inside, maybe two or three of them living together. No furniture. No tables, no chairs, no spoon. Nothing. No intelligence to enjoy the material world. But when they become married, the wife comes in and says, "Where's the furniture? You have to have a table and silver, and you have to have knife, fork, spoon, and pictures on the wall, and you need curtains on the window." So Prabhupada describes how by nature the male has an ego that I'm the big controller, I'm in charge. That's the ego of the male. And by naturally, the female has the feeling of I'm a servant of the male. And for the sake of a dharmic relationship, when that is recognized, the woman plays the role of the servant of the husband. Husband takes charge to be responsible for maintaining the wife and the family. Then there's a harmonious relationship. But actually, the man is controlled by the intelligence of the woman. And this is why it's described by the first verse I gave from Rishabhadeva. Pumsastriya maito nipavamitam toyomitur hridaya grantamahu. So this says, Pumsastriya, when the male and female come together in union. There's a very tight knot of attachment that is made. Pumsastriya maitunu bhavmetam toyo hridaya, in the heart, hridaya grantam. There's a knot that takes place. It's a very tight attachment. And then, ato griha kshetra means that there's a impetus, a desire. Now I have to have a field to work in. I have to have a house, a car, a job, all kinds of things. I have to have everything in order to live in the world. Janasya moho yamahammameti. In this way, one becomes overcome by illusion and thinks in terms of I and mine. This is my stuff. And this is the root of all material attachment. However, Bhagavatam teaches us that through cooperation, as in this verse, for the sake of serving the Supreme. Husband and wife both make advancement spiritually. They work as one unit. And over time, they become appropriately detached from the connection to the material world. And they can enter into this vanaprastha life. That means they have no other duties to do in life except for to perform devotional practices, austerities, together so that they can become purified. And then, of course, there's this sannyas. The husband then becomes detached from the family. But even that takes place very gradually. First thing is, the husband moves nearby, lives separate from the family, but wife still cooks for the husband, and they bring the food by, put it through here. Then he gives up that, and he goes and he finds grain that's left over in the field, and he just collects it up and he cooks for himself. And then he gives that up and he just wanders everywhere in the world to teach Krishna consciousness, and he realized Krishna maintains me anyway. And then finally he becomes Paramahamsa, or reaches the topmost stage of Krishna consciousness. And after the wife takes sannyas, then the wife takes sannyas. I just ruined the whole class. Okay, then the husband takes sannyas. Then the wife stays with the grown-up children. And whatever service she's rendered to her husband, this connection, whatever advancement he makes, she also makes. Just one last point before we take some questions. I'll just make one last point before we take some questions. In the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is a guidebook for how to perform all the details of devotional service, Sanatan Goswami writes that if someone is, for instance, performing Ekadashi Vrat, fasting on that day, no taking of anything, if that person then can fast for others also. He can do it on behalf of other people. Let's say the husband say, "I'm fasting," and the wife said, "I can't fast because I'll become too weak. I can't do my service. So you please fast for me, on my behalf." Then the person who's fasting, he gets 10 times the benefit. And the other person also gets credit for fasting. So we see this in various places where one can perform. If you're connected to somebody, you get the benefit of their devotional service. Yes, hold on, I'll say it again. Yes, no, not just wife. In any spiritual connection, yeah. Huh? New point. This is a new point. Yeah, so I was saying that in spiritual, when you have a connection with someone, spiritually, then you get benefit from that person's devotional practice also. This is the power of spiritual connection. So there's a lot more to say, but I'm not going to say it now. I'll just take a few reflections or questions. Hi.
プラッパーダの司会で、プラッパーダは、 毎当社アーガー性生活で縛られる世界を説明しています。
はい、
まずそこまで。
はい、This word is Maitosha Agama. Basically, a sex life. The sex life is the basic of this life, of this world. So that?
Correct.
Hi. What's that?
Thank you, Vanjatita Prabhu. Thank you for the pramanam. He has more. Okay, Moskoshi. Okay. Thank you very much. I don't know if I got the whole thing, but.
Domo
arigato gozaimasu. Hi. Question.
If I can, for the person who I want to pray for him or her, like example, my friend who are suffering from cancer, and if I can. For
her, then, I also get benefit, and also she also gets benefit. Am I right? Like, I get also 10 times benefit.
You say like that?
I said about fasting on Ekadashi.
Yeah.
I didn't say in every circumstance. I just mentioned one thing. Can we have translation?
No, yes, you gave an example as a Ekadashi, but it's the same thing that not Ekadashi, but chanting for others.
Well, first of all, just another point is we shouldn't engage the holy name in our service. That is, please cure cancer or something like that. I'm not saying that's why she's chanting, but that's not why we chant, that to cure some disease. We chant to serve the holy name. This is pure chanting. But we shouldn't chant and say, please cure my mother has cancer, please let her become better, or something like that. Unless it's, please let her engage in service or something like that. But engaging the holy name for some material remedy or benefit is not in the line of pure chanting. Yeah, okay. Yes, we get benefit when we chant for others, and others get benefit. This is Sankirtan. When we go out to chant Hare Krishna, we get benefit by chanting, and others get benefit from hearing us chant. But we find that we get even more benefit because Krishna becomes pleased by us giving the holy name to other people. This is why in Chaitanya Charitamrita is described how when the members of the Panchatattva distributed Krishna consciousness, it increased. The supply increased. And this is the nature of Sankirtan. When you give to others, when you chant to help others advance spiritually, then you become even more spiritually advanced. That's a principle.
I see. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We just have one last question. I'll try to keep it brief because we're running out of time and everyone's getting restless. Yes?
Sometimes race is opposite. Wife is interested in spiritual.
Yeah.
Then she's want to do, but husband is not.
Yeah, so she's saying, what about a situation where the wife is interested in spiritual life, but the husband is not? This happens a lot. There's a couple of things. One thing is that in this idea of husband and wife working together for spiritual life, and that the wife is helping to serve the husband. Okay. Let me start over, do over. Point is, if in a marriage relationship, if the husband is bad and he's not interested in Krishna consciousness, then the wife is not obligated to become the servant of this bad husband. Of course, the power of chastity and service is so great. It's mentioned in Shastra that even there was a brahmana who became attracted to a prostitute. He had leprosy. Anyway, when his chaste wife found out, she went to serve the prostitute to say, please, you know, be with my husband because that's what he wants. Of course, when her husband found out, he became so overwhelmed by the power of her chastity that he gave up his desire. And Shastra says that by the power of her chastity, she was able to stop the sun from rising. She became so... And Prabhupada told how his sister was married to a person who gave up the devotional principles. His sister was married to a man who was who became bad. Prabhupada said that his sister was married to a man who gave up the devotional principles. Prabhupada's sister. Yeah. But she continued to serve him very faithfully. And by the power of her service, he changed, his heart changed, and he became devoted again. So there are many individual cases. But Bhagavatam says the woman is not obligated to serve a husband who's become disconnected from devotional service. Okay. Thank you very much. Yes, I know it's a bad connection. So, thank you very much, everybody, for your patience and for your kind attention. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. And thank you very much to Tapasvini for your excellent translation. Gaur Premanande Haribo! Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.